the number of those cars on the road. Some really great topics were brought, or issues were brought up today. Number one, it's undoubtedly creating congestion in our city. It's adding to pollution. It's impacting mass transit ridership. And it's just the exact opposite of what we want to see happening on our roads right now. I'm always intrigued when I hear people voting against or advocating their own interests. And while I really enjoyed the testimony of the last community member who got up, his last remark sticks in my craw about working for FedEx and not needing a union. Well, let's talk about why he didn't need a union. That's because unions have delivered things like weekends, breaks at work, paid vacation, FMLA, sick leave, Social Security, minimum wage, civil rights acts, 8-hour workday, overtime pay, Occupational Safety and Health Act, 40-hour work week. I could go on and on and on, but I think everyone gets the point. It's absurd to me to suggest that TNC drivers don't need to have a voice and shouldn't be allowed to organize and respond and make demands. We're looking at a reality where 40% of our workers may be working in this kind of unsecure work. I've been enjoying the thumbs down back there today, gentlemen, especially the thumbs down on workers having a voice. That's just mind-boggling to me, but thank you for the entertainment. Just absurd, so I will definitely be supporting that. I don't have any amendments to make today, but I'm looking forward to this continued conversation.
Commissioner Fish.
You know, at the beginning of the hearing, we heard from a number of taxicab leaders, and then the testimony sort of swung to mostly the TNCs. I want to go back to a couple of the questions and comments we got earlier, and I don't remember anyone asking this question. So we asked, you know, how many drivers, TNC drivers, do we think there are? And you said over 10,000. We had Uber got up and said they have about 7,000. Do we know how many people drive a taxi cab in our city?
We know the number of permits. We know the number of permits issued.
Right. And that's roughly?
I think we're like roughly 700.
I think it's probably a little bit higher, maybe about 9.
But a permit doesn't mean that someone's actually using it, so we can't. It doesn't correspond to a driver.
Correct.
So I could have a permit, but it could be dormant.
It could be. I mean, right now permits are actually free for taxi drivers. So you may find a driver that gets a permit and then decides that maybe they want to go do something else. We still show that as an active permit.
As an active permit. And have we tracked over the last, say, 3 years whether there's been a significant decline in the number of permits?
We actually did. So back in early 2015, when council deregulated the moratorium, if you will, the cap on taxis, we actually saw the number go up significantly. So right now, there are more taxi drivers permitted than there ever were.
But we don't know whether they're driving.
Correct.
I'm sorry, that's a weird distinction. Do we have the capacity to bridge that divide and know what and any, you know, given period of time how many taxi cab drivers there are?
I think we can work closely with the taxi companies to find out of the number of permits we show are certified by your company, how many of these drivers are currently driving. We could get that information.
But if every permit was in operation during normal business hours, we're still talking about something like, you said 700, 900?
Not about 900 to 1,000.
So there's about a 10-to-1 ratio between TNC drivers and taxi cab drivers today. Is that about right?
Roughly, yes.
Okay, and Director Treat, I'm not as familiar with the code changes, and that's going to go to a second reading anyway. We're not voting on that today. Were there any issues raised at the beginning of the hearing that were new to you in terms of things you want to take a look at in terms of proposals that are in the code?
No, I think we're quite no. There weren't quite well prepared and for this. there weren't any surprises, and I think it's reflective of all the work that we would like to undertake as well.
Okay, thank you.
I was intrigued about the issue about using GPS. Is there a reason we need GPS-specific data as opposed to whatever data we use now, like the corner of Fifth and Main or something like that?
I mean, I think it's maybe you could answer this better,
sure.
But we currently just have zip code data, which doesn't tell us
data.
A lot about. We can only know where somebody's traveling in a certain zip code, so we're trying to get at a more granular level to understand movements in smaller segments, to understand where people are actually going. Are people actually taking Lyft to transit? Is somebody taking an Uber to a meeting? Are they using it to commute? So having more granular data will help us dissect how people are using the system.
Right, but won't that information also be very precise history of somebody's movements? And that's,
well, it comes to us anonymized. Like it'll come to us anonymized.
Correct. If I could, Commissioner.
Okay.
So we receive the data currently. Just for clarification, the code does not require GPS data. All the companies currently volunteer GPS data. Initially, that request was made to help us better charge them a more accurate surcharge, since we have some zip codes that borderline with Beaverton. If you just gave us the zip code and the ride actually picked up in Beaverton, we shouldn't be charging you a surcharge. So over time, the companies all initially, or over time, the companies all volunteered the GPS data. Now we're just putting the language in code, but it is the current practice today.
So could I ask a clarification, Commissioner Saltzman, on your line of questioning? I feel like I'm hearing two slightly different things. Is the data that we get and that we're stewards of and that we are to protect, is it anonymous data or is it coming in specifically to individual users?
That is correct. It is anonymized. So we do not know who it is, who the passenger is. We don't even know who the driver is.
If there is a data breach, it is your belief that the data could not be tracked back to an individual user. Is that correct or not correct?
The data that we have
I'm not talking about Uber or Lyft or anybody else's data. I'm talking about once we are the stewards of that data, it is already disaggregated from the individual user level. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes. Thank you.
But so the other kind of data breach that might occur is the data that Uber or Lyft has about their customers. And when there's a data breach of that firewall, then someone could improperly obtain information that might otherwise be protected by federal privacy laws.
On Uber's system?
Yes.
I wouldn't know how to respond to that question. I don't understand the security.
Well, we know there was a data breach,
but yes,
one of them. So I mean,
sure.
And I have to say this is one of the things about the new world of technology that I loathe is the complete absence of privacy. That we have. And I'll just give you one example. I mean, I've been very public with my battle with cancer. And from time to time, I will Google information about cancer, treatments, data, because I'd like to be better informed. Almost invariably, within the next week, I get unsolicited emails offering me discounts on burial insurance and other kinds of things. And it is just mind-boggling, the lack of privacy and that we now take for granted. And those kinds of things, to me, are very disheartening.
And if I could just add one more thing to that, I don't know if Commissioner Saltzman, if I interrupted your line of questioning here. This is the second time today in the context of two completely separate conversations and two separate council sessions that we've had this data conversation. We had somebody this morning testify around data stewardship and transparency and all that. On one hand, there's the protection of critical data about our residents, and as I'm sure we're all aware, the city of Portland is a frequent target of cyber attacks to try and gain access to the data that we do have and that we do collect. So that's one concern. The other is the reality that we can no longer really protect data. We have an obligation as a public entity to be transparent and accountable to the public, and therefore people can request data. And sometimes it is clear that we can protect that data. Sometimes it is less clear that we can protect that data. And sometimes we think we can protect the data, but in reality we cannot protect the data. And that's up to the courts to decide and we comply. And so we have our Office of Community Technology that's looking at this larger question of data in the modern world and our obligations as stewards, our obligations around transparency and accountability, and how we manage that data. And it's certainly coming up in other contexts. You know, the whole conversation around body-worn cameras in the police bureau is really a question about data accountability, who gets to manage the data, how is it managed, and what is disseminated when and under what circumstances. So I hope this conversation around data management becomes part of the larger conversation we're having with the Office of Community Technology and all the bureaus around the appropriate stewardship standards for data. And I was really appreciative of the people who today testified on that subject, because it's a very hot, very pertinent, very timely subject. Commissioner Fritz, did you, Commissioner Daly? Very good. All right. Commissioner Fish.
Mayor, I would, since it's late in the day and we have an ordinance and two resolutions, I would just move to a vote the amendments to item 519.
Let's do it in order, please. First of all, item 518, this is the first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading as amended. Next item is item 519. We'll call the roll on the Fish Amendment. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment stands. Next item is the Fritz Amendment to item 519.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment's adopted. Call the roll on the resolution as amended.
519, Fish?
First, I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for bringing the ordinance and the two resolutions forward today. I want to thank PBOT staff for their outstanding presentation, and I want to thank the public for taking time to come and testify today and to share their perspective on this. And I appreciate my colleagues and Commissioner Saltzman accepting the proposed amendments to the resolution. I've listened very carefully today to the testimony, which I thought was, in the main, very thoughtful. And the principal argument that I have heard for why we should not consider having some kind of TNC regulatory body or wage board or whatever you want to call it is that a number of current TNC drivers could not imagine a circumstance in which they would need to use it. And I appreciate that. And I actually think that's a fair argument to make. And if they believe it's either unnecessary or redundant, that's as good as any reason to oppose a new body of this kind. I think there's a compelling reason for us to embrace and be embrace this idea and be a national leader around this concept, because I'm persuaded that TNC drivers do not have a voice, a meaningful voice in the workplace. And, you know, I heard a couple of people testify that they heard in the distance the drumbeat of labor here, and as if that were to discredit this movement. I want to be very transparent about how I came to this position. I have been approached by TNC drivers. I have talked to local labor organizations. I have talked to community advocacy groups. I have done some homework, and I've read a lot of materials about similar movements in other cities. And I actually would be very proud to live in a city that was the first city to establish a board of this kind that gave TNC drivers a chance to voice their concerns. We have a very clear policy at the city of Portland, which is strict neutrality in labor matters. We are opposed to people putting unnecessary or illegal barriers in the way of employee choice. But beyond that, we respect the right of employees and workers to decide if they want to be represented and by whom. And it would be entirely inappropriate for the city of Portland to become directly involved in those kinds of movements. At the same time, what I have learned in my research is that TNC drivers really do fall into a gray area. And it's an area that I call legal limbo. And if I were a TNC driver, I would be very frustrated by the fact that my status and other people's view of my status change depending on who I talk to. If I talk to the state labor commissioner, he's been persuaded that I'm probably an employee. If I talk to certain members of the legislature that were prepared to preempt our authority to regulate and to declare by fiat that TNC drivers were independent contractors, apparently they were persuaded otherwise. Most of us have a clear understanding of where we stand. And where we stand as either contract employees or employees triggers a whole host of rights and responsibilities. But I think it is a little unfair to criticize people who ask for a place to have justice done, to criticize them by claiming that, well, this question has been decided. As far as I can tell, the question of the status of TNC drivers has not been decided. And I don't think I would be as committed to this cause if that issue had been clearly resolved one way or another. I thought Commissioner Udaly made a very eloquent point earlier when she talked about the benefits of the labor movement, but by implication, she also talked about the benefits of being an employee in our economy. Employees have substantial rights. They have places they can go to get recourse and exercise those rights. They get payroll taxes paid for by their employer. They have places they can go if they have wage disputes. They can go to court. They can do many things. A unique feature of contract labor in this country is that systematically contract labor is seeing their rights diminished. And systematically, justice is in the form of a private arbitration done out of public airing where the deck is stacked against that individual. And I have to say, I want to compliment Uber and Lyft for what we've been reading in the last few days, where at the national level they've reversed course and announced that particularly women who've brought forth claims in a class action of sexual assault and violence in the workplace and in this setting, they're no longer going to require that those claims go to arbitration. Instead, it appears that they're both recognizing the importance of having those claims aired in a public courtroom. Well, I believe the TNC drivers deserve a voice in the workplace. I think the kind of body that we are contemplating here is pretty modest, but it is an opportunity to have those claims heard. I have great confidence that PBOT is going to come back with a workable solution. We appear to have the funding so that there won't be any general fund hit. And I commit, as a member of the council, to working with my colleagues to make this work. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank Bureau of Transportation personnel and leaders who have worked on these issues for some 3 years now, and our private advisory committee for transportation, or private for hire committee, for the hard work they do on wrestling with all these issues and putting forward recommendations that we are considering or will be considering next week at the second reading, but also today in these resolutions. And everybody who showed up today. I mean, it's you've provided us with a host of great perspectives on, an industry that, as I said in my opening remarks, 3 years ago wasn't even here. So and they were barely, go back 8 years and almost there were no TNCs maybe 10 years ago. So it's really, it's had a transformative effect, and we've obviously heard the positive and the negative effects. I do think that, on balance, and when I supported this 3 years ago, there's been a lot of, people like the flexibility of TNCs. And I think people, including myself, I respect taxis, and taxis are still my first mode of choice. In fact, I don't even have an agreement with TNCs. So it's taxis or walking for me when I need other transit. But I do think that the TNCs cater to a certain type of individual who really likes that, either working for it. They like primarily part-time being able. I remember hearing from a lot of working mothers when we were considering this 3 years ago, how much this meant for them to be able to supplement their family's income by working for Uber or Lyft. So there's just a lot of different perspectives people bring to this issue, and I respect all of them. And, my job here is to try to sort through all this and make sure we have good policy that protects our customers and protects our residents and our visitors to our city. And I think really everybody's meeting the mark in that. And I was really inspired by a lot of the pride the drivers showed in the video, but also here today about the pride they have being the representative for the city of Portland to many people from out of town. And so anyway, I'm just very proud of everybody, and I'm pleased to support the resolution. Aye.
You, David.
Well, thank you to my colleagues, and thank you to city staff. Even though this has only been 3 years, there's certainly a mountain of information and history to work through in order to gain a working understanding of where we're at today. All I'd like to add is that corporations do a great job looking out for their own interests and the interests of their investors. Workers, whether they are considered employees or independent contractors, have a right to organize and advocate for their rights. And it's our duty as elected representatives to look out for their rights as well as that of the public and as the safety of the environment. So I'll just say once again, if you enjoy things like 8-hour work days, 40-hour work weeks, which I'd like to add, we don't. We're actually not protected by those kinds of laws. Sick pay, vacation, et cetera. Don't forget to thank a union, whether you're a member of one or not. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, it seems like yesterday and forever. That was 3 years ago. And thank you to those of you who are back again, the many in here who were part of those discussions. And it seems like many of the both hopes and fears from 3 years ago have in fact been realized. There are many people who enjoy driving for TNCs who find it, for multiple reasons, the best thing ever. And yet we have now heard from TNC drivers that they can't make a living and that the wages are subject to the whatever Uber and Lyft decide. And you don't put your thumb down at me. That's what we heard today. I'm reflecting what I heard. So whether you agree with this or not, that is a fact that we heard that for some people, this is not working out. We heard from taxi drivers that they would go out of business, and we have heard that some have. We heard that there would be more opportunity for more taxi permits, and there have. So I think that the jury is still out on who is really benefiting, and obviously one of my concerns is the city of Portland a net winner or loser on the business taxes. That's a big part of our economy. I think in a true Portland fashion, the big winners are the pedicabs, because 3 years ago we kind of forgot about the pedicabs and the people-powered vehicles, and now we've got a big bus representative who's a prominent person on the board. So yay for that, and I'm glad that that's not being forgotten. Commissioner Fish, thank you for bringing the driver board proposal forward. I wholeheartedly endorse it. Commissioner Saltzman, thank you for being willing to look at the insurance issue in particular again, and I'm glad that we're able to get that done while you're still in office. I hope we get to vote on it while you're still in office. It remains one of my big concerns. I would have to say I'm thankful that we haven't had a disaster here. We haven't had a bad crash. We haven't had, to my knowledge, an assault or a failure of a background check, and that is a good thing. And let's not continue to count on our luck. Let's make sure that we don't. So that is I'm glad we're taking another look at that, because it certainly needs improvement. I'm disappointed that the wheelchair access vehicle program is not yet not yet happening. That's a very long time. And so I'm glad that we've had the money come in. I want to make sure that it's actually easier for people who use wheelchairs to choose the way they want to access that, and it's easier and rewarding for any driver who wants to provide that service to get that premium pay for providing that service. And so I know that that is shared by the Bureau of Transportation. Director Leah Treat, thank you for your diligent work on this the entire time, and I thank you for your service to the City of Portland and, of course, your team as well. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, I tipped my hand right at the beginning of this conversation. I cannot outdo my colleagues in terms of their eloquence. I want to be sure I say this. I want to thank everybody who stuck it out for 3.5 hours this afternoon and testified. There's a lot of great insight that people in this community have on all sides of this issue. The liability issue is very important. The insurance issue is very important. I think it's entirely appropriate and desirable for us to create this forum for the people who are engaged personally in this industry to be able to provide information and advise us on the path forward. We do this in a whole host of other contexts. I don't see any reason why this should be any different. I wholeheartedly support the resolution. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted as amended. Please call item 520.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
I want to thank Matt Grum of my office and Tia Williams also, who was formerly on my staff, for all their hard work. And as I already commented, the people at PBOT who do a great job every day. Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Thank you, everybody. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted, and we are adjourned.
Good job. Thank you.